is based. And so for Article 2 of the Belgian Confession, we're looking at Psalm 19. That's page 858 in your pew Bible. As you read through Psalm 19, page 858, I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds saying, "Thanks be to God." And then after that, we'll look at Article 2 of the Belgic Confession in the back of our Psalter hymnal. First of all, Psalm 19. For the director of music, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They're more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. And then we turn to the back of our Psalter hymnal to Article 2 of the Belgic Confession. Page 818, and you're just invited to follow along as I read these words of Article 2, the means by which we know God. Page 818. We know him by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, since that universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book, in which all creatures, great and small, are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God, his eternal power and his divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, verse 20. And all of these things are enough to convict men and to leave them without excuse. Second, he makes himself known to us more openly by his holy and divine word, as much as we need in this life, for his glory and for the salvation of his own. May God add his blessing to Article 2 of the Belgic Confession as well tonight. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, so we're looking at Article 2 then of the Belgic Confession tonight. And what does Article 2 deal with again? Article 2 deals with the ways or the means by which God makes himself known to us. A quick review of where we are in the Belgic Confession. So far in our study of the Belgic Confession, we looked at Article 1. And so we talked about God. We talked about who God is. We talked about his basic characteristics, his attributes. Tonight, we move on to talk about how this great God shows himself to us. We talk about how this great God reveals himself to us. And so, congregation, how does God reveal himself? Well, according to the Belgic Confession, two ways. He does so by way of the creation, and he does so by way of the Bible. So let me explain these two. When we go outside on a beautiful day and we marvel at the creation and we say, "Wow, now look at that sun," or "Look at those clouds," or "Look at those gorgeous trees." When we notice these things, when we notice how everything is so beautifully held together, we also see something of God's glory. Sure, in all of this, God is telling us something of himself. He's basically saying to us, "Hello, I made this. See how great I am? See how powerful I am? See how glorious I am?" In this way, does creation reveal something about God? Creation is one way God reveals himself to us. And the other way God reveals himself to us is in the Bible. And that's pretty obvious. Sure, the Bible is the Word of God. Scripture is God's message to us. In the Bible, we have everything we need to know to have a relationship with God, to praise him, and to love him. And so what are the two ways God reveals himself to us? Creation and Scripture. Psalm 19, it talks about these two means by which God reveals himself to us. Actually, Psalm 19, it celebrates it, right? In regards to creation, Psalm 19 says in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." See that? And then in regards to Scripture, Psalm 19 says in verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." See? These are the ways. These are the means God tells of himself to us, his people. Now, moving along, it might be good to know how the church and how theologians and Bible teachers of the past have defined these two means by which God reveals himself. God's revelation of himself in creation is what theologians call general revelation. And God's revelation of himself in the Bible is what theologians call special revelation. And there's reasoning behind these two terms. We call God's revelation of himself in creation general revelation because what God reveals about himself there is really rather general, right? What I mean is it's quite broad. God's revelation is quite wide. It's not very specific. It's rather general. We don't learn too much about God there. Sure, but the only things we can learn about God in creation, in general revelation, is that God is obviously, well, he's big, and God is obviously very powerful to make this world, and he's obviously very glorious. But beyond that, we don't learn too much more about God there. And for that's all that God reveals about himself there. And if you want to find out more about God, then you have to turn to a more special source. Hence the Scriptures, which is God's special revelation. Maybe an analogy is helpful. Let's say Marianne and I go off to a hotel together. And while I park the car at the hotel, Marianne goes in and she books our room. And let's say after booking our room, Marianne goes to the room and she drops off her stuff and then she goes to the swimming pool for a second, just to check it out. And while she's gone, while she's at the swimming pool, I come along to our room. And I see the door open, and so I kind of open up the door wider to make sure it is our room. And I look around a bit, and sure, it becomes obvious. Yeah, this is our room. There on the couch is Marianne's pillows. On the chair is Marianne's coat. And on the sofa is her suitcase, whatever. From the evidence in our room, it's obvious that Marianne is telling me something. She's saying, "Hello, this is our room." That kind of message is a kind of like a general revelation. It's general because without saying anything, she's telling me something. But if Marianne wanted to make it more obvious to me that this was our room, what would she have done? She probably would have left a note on the door that said, "Dear Ken, yes, this is our room. Go in. I'm going to the swimming pool for a second to check it out. I'll be right back." Leaving a note like that, that's like special revelation. It's special because it involves language. It's written down for me to read. It's more open. It's clearer. You follow me? That's a little bit what it's like with creation and with Scripture. The evidence and the fingerprints that God leaves all over the creation is his general revelation, and the Bible, with its clear language and writing, is his special revelation. Praise God that he has revealed himself to us. Congregation, it's clear from the two forms of revelation which one has more priority for us now, which one we would really want to focus on. The revelation we want to focus on is the Bible. In the Bible, we have God's written message. In the Bible, we have in clear language all we need to know God and to experience his salvation. You understand that without the Bible, we would be lost. And so we definitely need the Bible. Yes, although God reveals himself in the creation, although God has left his fingerprints all over the place, what is revealed there is not enough there to save us. Nope. In order to be saved, we need the Scripture. Scripture is where we learn about Jesus Christ. Christ is who we need to know to be saved. And so, without special revelation, without Scripture, we're lost. Now, interesting how this works, though. You know, in our lost condition, we can at least sense God, though. We can sense God in the creation order. We sense that he's out there. We know that some divine being is out there somewhere. And we sense, too, that something is missing in our lives. Well, of course, we're missing a relationship with God. That much we can know from general revelation. But what do we do with our knowledge of God in the creation? In our sin, our natural tendency is to turn to idols. That's what we do. We sense God, but then we make idols. We make our own religions. We think our man-made gods can somehow fill the void that we sense in our lives. Unless you're an atheist, of course. Atheists, they basically cover up their eyes what they obviously see. Over time, they harden themselves so that they don't see anything anymore. You know, the Christian, he looks at the sunset and he says, "Look at the glory of God." And the atheist says, "What are you talking about? I don't see anything." It's interesting, though, that there are very few real honest-to-goodness atheists out there. Most of us sense something of God out there. We have to, because God reveals himself. He reveals himself to all people. The heavens declare the glory of God, says Psalm 19. Yes, it's obvious enough that according to Romans 1, mankind is held accountable for blinding himself to God's obvious revelation of himself in creation. But it's because we are lost by nature. That's why we require the Scriptures. We need God's special revelation. We need the Bible. Sure, in the Bible, not only do we read about God's glory, his power, and his divinity, no, we learn much, much more. In Scripture, we learn about ourselves. We find out what our predicament really is. We see how we are broken, how we are lost, and how we are sinful, and how we tend to blind ourselves. In Scripture, we learn what God has done to save us. Sure, in Scripture, we learn about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into our world to die on a cross to pay for our sins. In Scripture, we learn everything we need to know so that we can have a real and a vibrant and a living relationship with God that fills the void in our hearts. That's why of the two revelations God has given to us, the one we want to prioritize, the one we want to focus on is Scripture. It's special. In Scripture, we learn about Christ. I guess that's the real difference between general revelation and special revelation. General revelation, it can't save us. Only God working through Scripture can. And yet it's interesting to see how these two revelations kind of work together. This is how the two relate. General revelation, yeah, it points us to God. It directs us to God. It says, hey, God is there, God is there, which explains why people search. People begin to search for God. They search for God, they sense Him. And then when they get a hold of a Bible, and when they have a friend explain the Bible to them, like at Alpha, or they hear a preacher preach the Bible, like in church, by God's grace, suddenly a person meets Christ Himself, and they're saved. Praise God. In that sense, general revelation, it kind of points to, it's kind of longing for special revelation. For in special revelation, we finally meet Christ, and there all of our holes in our lives are filled. And then, in coming to Christ, and having that saving relationship with Christ by His Holy Spirit, we're able to see more clearly God's revelation of Himself in creation as well. As a Christian, all of a sudden, when we look at the creation, oh yeah, everything is very, very clear. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's so utterly obvious. And we celebrate God's revelation here in creation, and we celebrate God's revelation of Himself in His Word as well. Congregation, moving on. Allow me to be clear about what it is then that God reveals, what God communicates to His people in both general and special revelation. What does God tell us in both creation and His Word? What He tells us is about Himself. Through creation and Scripture, we learn about God. And I want to stress that. I stress that because some Christian thinkers, they've misused, or maybe should I say they have misunderstood, Article 2 of the Belgic Confession. What am I talking about? The background to what I'm talking about is the debate in the Christian community, and also in the Christian Reformed Church, about the origins of the universe and topics surrounding all that, you know, the age of the universe, creation, evolution, etc. Let me explain. It has been said that in order to get a handle and an understanding of the origins of the universe, Christians need to listen to both science and the Bible. We need science and the Bible, which of course is true. That makes sense. Nothing is gained if we ignore what scientists say or what the Bible says. We do need both. The issue becomes muddy, however, when it is argued that what scientists discover is itself general revelation. The idea is science studies general revelation and theologians study special revelation. And what we need is both revelations of God to understand the origins of the universe. I want to point out that this is not an entirely helpful way of looking at things here. It's certainly a wrong understanding of Article 2 of the Belgic Confession. Although no one should want to deny that Christians should take into account the discoveries of science, although science has its legitimate place, no doubt, it's a whole other matter to say that what scientists actually discover is itself God's revelation to us. It's general revelation. That's a whole other matter. Scientific theories and even so-called scientific facts are not God's general revelation. Of course not. If for no other reason than that scientists don't always agree on what the scientific facts are. In terms of the origins of the universe, for example, some scientists say that the facts are clear. The Earth is millions and millions of years old. And then you get those other scientists who say, no, the facts are clear. The Earth is only 10,000 years old. So which one is it? Which one is God's general revelation to us? Well, that's just it. None are. Scientific facts are not what God reveals in His general revelation. So just back to the basic question, what does God reveal? What he reveals is himself. What he reveals is his power and his divinity and his majesty and his glory. Not scientific facts, no, but his power, his divinity, his majesty and his glory. That's what's obvious for all to see if we but look. Article 2 is very clear on this. The means by which we know God. That's the title. We know him by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and governance of the universe. Since that universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book in which all creatures are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God, his eternal power and his divinity. My point is, what God reveals in general and special revelation is God and nothing more. I'm not saying that there are easy answers to all the many questions that we have about the origins of the universe. That stuff is very complex. Scripture, of course, needs to be affirmed. We know that. The event character of Genesis 1, 2, and 3 must be affirmed. And nothing, but nothing is good if we simply ignore what scientists are discovering. But let's not muddy the waters. Let's at least be clear about what general and special revelation reveal. Both reveal God. That's the issue here. Congregation, I think we should marvel at the fact that God reveals himself at all to us. You understand, he didn't have to. I mean, by nature, we are sinful and we deserve nothing but his wrath and his punishment. But for some reason, hidden within his grace and his mercy, he chose to reveal himself to us nonetheless. We need to marvel at this. How we should love God all the more because of this. Yeah, the next time you go outside to marvel at the creation, may you also marvel at God's glory? Do you see it? Do you notice it? Do you bask in it? Do you celebrate it? And the next time you read your Bible, will you marvel at the revelation of himself in the scriptures? God sent his Son. We may know about him. This is what he has revealed to us. And please don't just marvel at this. May you serve him more because of all of this? That's what the psalmist does in Psalm 19, by the way. He sees and he celebrates God's glory in the creation. He sees and he celebrates the wonder of his word. And then how does Psalm 19 conclude? With a prayer. That his heart be touched by it all, so that he may serve his God in greater obedience. Says the psalmist, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May God's general and special revelation lead us to the same conclusion. To God be the glory. Amen. We're going to sing our hymn in response.